If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to, if you have your Bibles, and I'm going to put them up here on the PowerPoint as well, so you can follow along with Scripture, because if you don't know me, I like to give you a lot of Scripture, and so you can take it home this week and study. That's why on the back of the bulletin you can take notes. But we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and Ephesians chapter 5. So we're going to start out in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We'll end up in Ephesians chapter 5, and of course there'll be all in between. By the way, if you're wanting to number on the back of your bulletin, you can go ahead and number 1 through 9. I normally do 3 points. That's kind of the rhythm of my teaching and preaching. But today we're going to do 3 messages in 1, so we got 9. But I'm going to do it in the same amount of time, so the roast won't burn, I promise. And y'all will get out of here in plenty of time. But I started this last Sunday, and these are standalone messages. This is not, even though it's a series, they're not building upon one another. It's a standalone message. And last week I talked about fortifying your borders, and we talked about fortifying your faith. But today we're going to talk about fortifying your love walk. So look at somebody and say, I'm going to learn to walk in love. Yeah, if your spouse is here, you better learn. Look at them and say that. I'm going to learn to walk in love. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I'm preaching and teaching to myself today, because I was thinking over here in worship, and my wife has even told me this week, Mark, you're down, you're depressed, and you need to get out of it. Has your spouse ever told you that? Okay, we're in church. Yeah, Matt's, my brother's over going, no, she's never said that to me. you're lying, brother. I'm just kidding. But so my wife was one that first noticed it. Then my daughter even noticed it. And I didn't realize that it was affecting my outward appearance. But I've had no less than 3 things that has happened this week to me. And I'm not going to get up here and have a pity party with you. But I've had no less than 3 things that happened to me this week that I could be super offended today if I wanted to be. And I was almost taking the bait of Satan. Fences are a bait of Satan. We're going to learn that today. And I was letting it affect me. And it was affecting my relationship with my wife, my daughter. They both saw it. They was like, Dad, what's wrong? You're not your happy-go-lucky self. And I had to realize, and I repented on the way to church this morning. You know, I've been studying this, and like, Lord, this word that I'm going to be teaching today is coming back on me. And that I need to be a doer of this. And so the title of this message, even though it's underneath this heading, Fortify Your Borders, is Fortify Your Love Walk. And we're going to learn how to walk in love today. There's something that Jade and I do at home every evening before we go to bed is we talk. She always asks me, Mark, did you lock the doors? And I'm like, yes, honey, I locked the doors. Did you set the alarm for tomorrow so that we do get up and face the day? Yes, honey, I locked the doors, set the alarm. And then she always asked me to pray. And so we pray together before we go to bed. And those are things that we do, and it just brings security, and it fortifies our borders. And by the way, this image up here is the Great Wall of China. And Carrie Ward, one of our school teachers, our librarian, she had to look up some information about the Great Wall of China. You may use this on a game show somewhere. But it's one of the 7 wonders of the world. It's over 2,300 years old. And who built that was soldiers and convicts. And it took them a long time to build it. But that's the Great Wall of China up there. Useless information, a little history lesson for you. Has nothing to do with the message, okay? So we're going to learn about fortifying your love walk. Is everybody awake this morning? All right. I know we had an awesome graduation party here at our church. Let's see how many we got. Bree, I'm serving. Keaton, who else? Lakin's in the back serving in children's ministry. Allie is here. So let's give our, who else? Parker was here. He had to leave because they got ball games today. So let's give our seniors a big hand clap, because we had a huge party here Friday night, and I had to learn love walk. Paragon TV, Paragon, who's going to be broadcasting this on KECO next Sunday. We love you, by the way. We've repented and forgiven you that you tried to upload an hour-long file at 7, and it finally uploaded at 8, and we got to watch the graduation. But thank God we got to watch it. Because I was sitting over here as a pastor going, we had all kinds of families in here, and I'm like, am I going to have to get up here and tell everybody to go home and they can just watch it online later, you know. But we finally got to watch it. So Fortify Your Love Walk is the title of today's message. We'll get back into it. All right. If you're in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, I'm going to put it up here on the screen so you can see it as well. This is a story about King Asa in the Old Testament, and he did some things in the natural to fortify his kingdom. And we can apply these into our spiritual principles as well. And this is kind of where this kind of springboarded these messages about fortify your borders. And so the Old Testament is like examples for us to learn from. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 14, starting in verse 2, it says, King Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods in the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. Everybody say quiet. And it says, and he built fortified, everybody say fortified. There's that fortify your borders. He built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. Everybody say rest. He had no war. Everybody say no war. In those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. So King Asa built these fortified cities, and when you look up the word fortify, it means to strengthen with defensive works so as to protect it against attack. And so King Asa's fortification results in 2 Chronicles 14, what we just read. It ended up bringing quiet, rest, no war, peace, and prosperity due to fortifying his borders. And what I want to tell you today is that can be the same results for you when you do that spiritually to your life. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. It's a good place to tweet, post on Facebook right there too. Because this is even though this happened in the natural, we can apply this to the spiritual. There are things that you know, there's things that's going to happen to you in life that you didn't sign up for. Some things that, I'll be honest with you, there's been some things that's happened in my life that I made a wrong choice. I had to suffer the consequence of it. But Jesus said, in this world, what's built into life, because we live in a fallen world, is trials and tribulation and problems and all kinds of situations and issues. And sometimes you didn't sign up for any of them. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That's John 16, verse 33, and we have to remember that. In the Bible, a fortified city was considered a blessing, a place of security and strength, and something to be desired. Around your life right now, if I could see in the spiritual realm, around your life is a bubble, and it's like your borders. And if your border is down, it can allow the enemy to come in. Amen? And so what I'm trying to teach you as your pastor is how to fortify that bubble around you, that hedge protection around you to keep the enemy out. That's what a good pastor guards the sheep. And so I want to help you through the Word of God do that. I had to realize this week, last week, we on fortifying your faith, we talked about Peter, and Peter was the outspoken disciple. And when Jesus said, hey, Peter, dude, you're walking on thin ground, he said, but be encouraged, I prayed for you, because the enemy has asked to sift you like wheat. But be of good cheer. I've prayed that your faith will stay strong through all this. And what we learned from about Peter was what caused his bubble to burst, so to speak, or his borders to come down, was he was acting out in pride. He was arguing with other disciples. Who's going to be the greatest? Well, I am. I'm the outspoken one. You know, he's like, I'm going to go to the cross with Jesus. I'll die for Jesus. And Jesus said, dude, before the rooster crows tomorrow, three times you're going to deny me. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And that happened. And so we talked about that yesterday in fortifying, or last Sunday, about fortifying your faith. And so I'm hoping through this teaching today that we'll realize, and I had to realize this week, that because of offenses, because those opportunities to get offended, to walk in unforgiveness, to write people off, you know, to make out my go to hell list. Hello? Okay. Can I be honest with you guys this morning and to do all that. And I was like, because I was doing that in my mind and in my heart, my borders were coming down. I wasn't walking in love. And I did not realize that it was affecting me in my emotions and mentally and everything, where I was walking around depressed and I wasn't my happy-go-lucky self, but who noticed? It was my wife and my daughter. And I was like, Dad, you need to snap out of it. They didn't know exactly what all was going on inside of me, but I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking through them to say, Mark, your borders are down. You're not walking in love. So we too should desire the blessings of fortified walls around every area of our lives: health, finances, family, faith, and then what I'm talking about today, our love. Because the devil is roaming around like a lion looking for the tiniest breach at any point to enter into your life. All right? Now, I don't want us to leave here afraid of the devil, all right, because we have victory in the name of Jesus. But there are things that we can do in life to fortify our borders. Now, let's look at this scripture. 1 John 4:8 says, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Everybody say, God is love. God is love, all right? We know that. If you want to define who God is, he is love, and he is a good God, and he's a good God all the time. Then in Romans 5:5, it says, and I know I'm preaching to the choir today, every one of you in here know the Lord. Amen? If you don't, you're going to know him by the time you leave today. And so you know the Lord, and it says this, what happens to us as believers, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he deposits his love within you. So you have the God kind of love in you. Amen? Now you may have to get a lot of selfishness out of the way to find it, but it's there. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We're always in that work. It's not that you're not saved. It's the workings of the Holy Spirit. You're working out your salvation. You're working with the Holy Spirit to walk in love, just like I have been doing this week. So here's what Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 through 35. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen? So they out there will know that we in here belong to him up there when we have love for one another. And it needs to start in the household of faith in here. But here's what the problem is people out there hear about us in here bickering and fighting, and the church is divided, and they're like, I want to stay home. I'm just going to stay home, and I'll watch somebody else on TV. You know what I say as a pastor? I don't blame them. I had a lady tell me this week, and that I'm sending out a daily scripture to some nurses, and she told me, she said, Mark, thank you for your scriptures. They really bless me. I'm a believer, but I don't go to church. And she put in parentheses, for personal reasons. And I had to say, I understand. You know, but here's the deal. That's why we have to have grace for one another. And when they see us out here having grace for one another and loving one another, even through our faults and our flaws and everything, they're like, I want to go to that church. You know what? They're not fighting over the carpet. They're not fighting over what chairs to have in their church. They're not fighting over what the paint color is outside. They really do love one another, and they help one another. People want to go to a church like that. I want our church to be that church. Amen. That people want to go to because they see us have love for one another. That's what people are looking for today. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 2, this is where I wanted you to turn to in the New Testament. And in my New King James Bible, when I was reading it, the heading, I have these little headings in my Bible, and it said, walk in love. And it says this, therefore be imitators of God, because God is love, as his dear children. So God wants us to imitate him in this. And it says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It actually smells sweet to God when you walk in love. When you have every right, you could justify it all day long, that I could hold unforgiveness towards this person or whatever, but when you choose, and here's the key, I hope you're getting this, love is a choice, it's not a feeling. Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's awesome when it feels good, you know, when we're loving one another and it feels good. But there's times where you're going to have to love just out of choice. It's a choice of the will. All right. And so, as your pastor today, I want to give you, and as a teacher, I like to give points, and so I want to teach you how to walk in love. So you want to learn how to walk in love? Caden came all the way to church to learn how to walk in love today. I like picking on my nephew, Caden. Here's how to walk in love, all right? And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes, or you can go back and watch this. It'll be archived but on our podcast. But how to walk in love. Number one, you need to learn how to think well of others. Starts in your mind. Think well of others. Like I told you earlier that I had already started in, I didn't have it wrote down, but in my mind I had a go-to-where-you-know-where list made up. And that's not good. That's not good at all. That's going to end up affecting you. And it'll affect you not only spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, but if you sit there and stew on it long enough, it'll affect you physically. And we've got some nurses in here that know about that. It'll affect your physical health as well. But Philippians 4:8 says, finally, this is the Apostle Paul talking, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think well of others. Don't dwell on the bad things. Think well of them. There's something good in every one of us. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number two. Number two is speak well of others. Speak well of them in their presence and out of their presence. James 5:9 says this, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Speak well of others. And everybody said, speak well of them. All right. Speak well of others. This goes right along with it. Number three, speak well to others. So not just, you know, I'll speak well to her face, but whenever I get behind her back, I'm not going to speak well of her. That don't work. So you speak well of others behind their back, you speak well of them to them. Amen. Oh, God, this message is convicting me already. Because I've had a week of not obeying this, I can tell you that. Speak well. Okay, I'm just going to be real. Can I get real with you for just a second? I told my wife this one. I'm going to give one little pity party story real quick, but I'm going to tell you how the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And because I'd already been preparing this message in my mind. I hadn't got it wrote down yet, but it was already happening. I had a situation this week where I had bought a boat, okay, and I was looking forward to this boat on Memorial Day weekend and had it bought verbally for a week, had went and got all the things that I needed for this boat, life jackets, a tube. I had already pictured myself in the boat catching fish on Foss Lake, okay. I've already seen throwing my daughter off, you know, as high as this church off the tube. On Saturday, yesterday, I already had these pictures in my mind, and it came last week when I was going to go pick up the boat. I go to pick up the boat, and the guy tells me, he says, "Mark," of course he blamed it's not good, but he blamed it on his wife. He said, "My wife changed her mind," and I wanted to say, "Well, you did too, then, right? Because you're one, you know." And of course, they changed their mind, and I was just like, "Oh my God," you know. And of course, I had to call Jade, I had to call Taya, and I was just wanting everybody to pick up this offense with me. Let's just all, you know, gather around, let's all have a pity party. And and I'll have to confess, when the Holy Spirit got, the Holy Spirit still hasn't got a hold of me. And of course, the guy asked me, "Are you mad?" And I was like, yeah. I feel Tabasco sauce coming up inside of me, you know. And I left there, and here's the deal. I left there and yesterday, I'm confessing to you guys, because I just want you to know I'm not this spiritual giant. I deal with the same stuff that I'm teaching to you, that I'm teaching to myself. I was driving across the dam yesterday at Foss Lake, and if you know what it was like yesterday, it was windy, and it was white capping. And I was like, thank you, God, that, you know, it's windy today, and you're just taking away all those memories I had of Saturday of being on the boat with throwing Tay off and all this, you know. And then I was sitting there, and I'm telling you guys, this God is my witness, and this is when the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And I said, but thank you, God, that they can't use it either. Lord, help me. Lord, help me help myself in Jesus' name. And that's when the Lord got a hold of me and said, Mark, you are not walking in love. You should have blessed them, you know, that it was calm waters and they should be out there. And I struggled with that. And that's when the Lord really got a hold of me. And this is number three, speak well to others. Speak well of others, speak well to others. Ephesians 4, verse 29, and it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, and I had to confess that to Jada. I got it out in the open. I got it out in the lights because I didn't want the enemy using that anymore on me. All right, here's number four. Pray for others and look for opportunities to do good to others. Pray for others and look for opportunities to do good to others. And it's not, you know, you need to pray for those that mistreat you. And this is what Jesus said in Luke 6, verses 27 through 28. He says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. So it's not just always the people that are patting you on the back that, you know, Jesus is saying, you need to take those that love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, with all that's in you, with all that's within you, live at peace with people. Sometimes it's hard to live at peace with some people, some family members, some co-workers, but, you know, you can. If with the Lord's help, you can do it. And I'm not saying you got to be buddy-buddy pals with everybody, amen? Sometimes you got to put borders around those situations because you know it's always going to be like that, all right? Proverbs 3, verse 27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in your power to act. You know, like, don't withhold something. You know, something comes along and you have the power to do good to somebody and you're like, no, I'm not, because they don't deserve it. Well, that's not for you to judge, amen? If you've got the power to do it, do it. That's what the Word says, and the Lord will bless you for it. All right, here's number five, serve others. Galatians 5, verse 13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So we're to serve one another. And I promise you, when they out there see us in here doing this, these five things, we're not going to be able to keep people out. People want to be a part of a family like that, a church family like that. So these are the ways, sum this up real quick. So these are all the ways you can love others. Think well of others, speak well of and to others, pray for and do good to others, serve others. And deep down inside, every one of us in here, God has placed in you a desire to love others. The only thing that stands in your way is yourself. And so to love others, we will have to put self to death. Just like when I was driving across the Foss Dam, I had to put self to death and my thoughts and what was going through, all right? Now, walking in love is a decision. I've already talked about that a little bit. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. And there's power, and this is what I'm going to end with today. Because even those five things, I could have just stopped it right there. I feel like I needed to take it just a little bit further and to tell you that right now, where you're seated at, right now today, where I'm standing at, those that are watching online, there's power in making pre-made decisions. Before you leave here today, you need to make that pre-made decision. Now, I'm going to give you four of them that you need to make that's going to help you walk in love. Because I promise you, when you walk out these doors, somebody's going to tick you off. It's probably going to be somebody in your family. It may be somebody tomorrow that you work with. I don't know who it's going to be, but that I'm just telling you, the love walk is a fine line. And on both sides of the road are ditches where the enemy's got traps set for you, offenses. And if he can get you over there, he's going to get you off the love walk path. And when you get off that love walk path, it's going to wreak havoc in your life. Because you're always going to go around and, the enemy plays those mind games with you, imagining that they're saying this, they're doing this, blah, 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 and you've taken the bait of Satan, hook, line, and sinker, and he's got you. And so and here's the deal. Just like with me, I took the bait of Satan, but you can spit it back out through repentance and saying, Lord, forgive me. I got off the love walk path. I need to get back on it. And he'll forgive you right then, and you're back on it. That's the good thing. That's the grace of God. Thank God. And so here's the first thing. There's just four quick things that I'm going to teach you real quick. Number one, right now, right where you're seated at, decide to forgive. Because I promise you something's going to, your spouse is going to do something that's going to get on your last nerve. How many of you know your spouse can get on your last nerve sometimes? Yeah. Some of you got two hands up. Lord, forgive them right now. But Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15, this scripture gets a hold of me whenever I have that, and we all have it, you know, that decision. I'm just going to walk in unforgiveness towards that person. But here's helps me decide pretty quick that I need to get off that path of unforgiveness. Jesus said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I don't know about you, but I need God's grace double time. So I'm going to choose to walk in forgiveness, but you're going to have to know this. There are things going to happen to you, the bait of Satan to walk in unforgiveness. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. So you need to make the pre-made decision that no matter whatever happens to me, God, I'm going to forgive. All right. Here's number two. Number two, decide to hold your tongue. Some of us, I don't know if you're like me, but some of us, and you may even do this in your mind, some of us in our mind and even with our mouth, we rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it and just from every angle, you know. And I don't know how many times I've talked to Jada about one thing this week. And finally, I just had to tell her, you know what, honey, I just need to quit talking about it because I need to stop it. I need to quit thinking about this boat. I'm talking about this boat today in my message. Get the boat. I'm dreaming about boats. Get the boats out of my mind, Lord. But to do that, I've got, and you know, I drive across False Dam. There's a boat. I want a boat. You know, it's just there. So decide to hold your tongue. And this is Proverbs 10, verse 19. It says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and I took this out of the New Living Translation because it almost says shut up, but it says, be sensible and keep your mouth shut. I love what a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Ricky Griffin, he says, you know what? We all need the spirit of shut up to come on us sometimes. I'm like, yeah, Lord, I need it this week. Because I thought about it. I talked about it. I rehearsed it. I cursed it. I did everything. And so we can't do that. Decide to hold your tongue. And that's a pre-made decision. And that's easier said than done. I realize that. But you have to do it. And the more you hold your tongue, the more you quit thinking about it. And the more you quit rehearsing it, and finally that thing dies. Is it dead me yet? No, you all can tell this morning. But I told Jada, I said, I'm going to preach myself out of this today in Jesus' name. All right, here's number three. Decide to believe the best. Decide to believe the best. Here's where my thoughts went. Lord, maybe I saved a marriage over a boat. That's the decision I'm making today. Maybe wrong, but in my mind, I'm making it right because it's going to help me forget about that boat. Because you know what? There's other boats out there. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Linda. Amen. There's other boats out there, but I keep thinking about this one boat. But maybe I got to decide to believe the best, that somehow, some way, God doesn't want us to have that boat. And Jada said something to me this week that really helped me. She goes, Mark, God has a better boat. So I'm thinking better boat, better boat, better boat now. Not that boat, better boat. All right, decide to believe the best. Proverbs 18, verse 17. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. Now, what does that mean? That just means that to every story, there's two sides to every story. So you're going to hear rumors. You may hear a rumor about me. You may hear a rumor about our church. You may hear a rumor about a friend, a family member, whatever. Don't believe it until you get to both sides of the story. Amen? Go talk to them about it if it's something that needs to be talked about. Sometimes I'll tell you about 90-some percent, about maybe 99% of rumors just need to be shut down, you know, and not. But some of them, you know. But there's always just remember this, and, you know, it's a Our grandparents taught it. There's always two sides to every story. So don't just believe one side. And everybody said, amen. Decide to believe the best in everybody. All right? And then number four, this is a pre-made decision that you're going to have to do because believe me, you're going to have ample opportunity for this to happen in your life. Decide to not get offended. pre-made decision. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. There's a lot of things in life, guys, especially if you're married in here, in marriage. There's a lot of things in life in marriage, because in marriage, whoever it is, the wife, the husband, you're going to have bad days. Amen? And sometimes you just need to, okay, they're just going through something. I just need to overlook that. Jada's had to overlook a lot this week. All right? So overlook. Look at somebody and say, you need to overlook it. All right. So when you put these four tips into practice, you'll become more and more proficient at walking in love and being one step closer to victory. It will keep the airways clear for your prayers and open the door to the supernatural and to more blessings in your life. And more importantly, you'll find you have a newfound peace and joy in your heart, one that will fuel your love for years to come. And here's the deal, guys. Thank you for letting me teach and share about the boat today, because I know there's a better boat, and my heart is full of love today. And I'm choosing to walk out of here in love today. Amen. All right, I want to speak this, pray this over us, and I'm going to go ahead and we have a couple of dismissals here. But here's the first one. I'm going to pray this over you. This is actually a prayer out of Ephesians chapter 3 that the Apostle Paul was praying over the church in Ephesus, and it's talking about God's love. So I want to speak these scriptures over every one of us, including myself today, and over all those that are watching online. This is what it says in Ephesians. I'm going to read Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And everybody said, amen. I want everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes in here this morning. And I just, really nothing spiritual about that. But I just want you to focus on you and your relationship with the Lord. This isn't about joining a church or a denomination. This is about making sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I just want to make sure that everybody here, under the sound of my voice, and those that are watching online, those that will be listening to this on the radio, I just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I had to do this myself the first time that I realized the Holy Spirit was tugging at my heart and saying, Mark, this is the day. Today is the day of your salvation. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say you have to get your act all cleaned up and everything before you come to know the Lord. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I know there's many of you here that already know the Lord. I want you to repeat this prayer with them. We're going to join you in praying this prayer. And so I want you to repeat this prayer after me, this prayer of salvation. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want to welcome you. If that's the first time you've ever prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family of God. Your very next step that you need to do is to follow the Lord in water baptism. And we have a baptistry up here. We call it our holy hot tub because it's actually heated. And we can fill that up next Sunday and get you water baptized. That's your very next step. Put you on the road to walking with the Lord and walking in that love relationship. And then that's where the Holy Spirit starts his ministry of cleaning you up and helping you and teaching you and all that good stuff. Okay? Now, Jada, will you come up here with me, babe? Because we want to, this is something else that we do here, is we speak a blessing over you guys. We believe in the power of the spoken word. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. So I want every one of you to stand up. And if you have family there, or if you have your spouse there with you, I want you to join hands with them. And this is kind of an extended version of Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26. This is the blessing is what this is called, okay? So I want to speak a blessing over you guys. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed. Turn to somebody and say, we're going to walk in love. Amen. 'Cause all that I